AIM Nashville Studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. Mount Juliet. Start your engines. This is the Chasing Checkers Podcast with Chase McCain on Nashville's best sports talk,
ESPN
102.5 The Game.
That's right. Welcome in. Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game, online at thegamenashville.com, on the Game Nashville app, on iTunes, SoundCloud. Rate, subscribe, review. Just search for Chasing Checkers. We're here every Friday afternoon, and it's a lot of fun to come in here and talk NASCAR. Jeff Burton from NBC is going to be the guest this week. A lot of really good stuff from him that you will want to hear. But look, we got a ton to dive into before we get to Phoenix. ISM Speedway, Phoenix this weekend. It is the last race before they go to Homestead and decide a champion. And when we left Texas, we're thinking, all right, Kevin Harvick dominates, wins. He has cashed his ticket to the Championship Four. He has been the leader of the Big Three all year long, 8 wins on the season. He is in the driver's seat, no pun intended, okay, maybe a little bit, to win this championship. Well, fast forward a few days later, and NASCAR comes out with a penalty saying that the spoiler on Harvick's car that won at Texas was basically, it was illegal. It didn't match up properly. You'll hear from Scott Miller, who pretty much runs that for NASCAR, here in just a little bit. But just kind of changes the entire landscape going into Phoenix. Now, if you're Kevin Harvick going into Phoenix and you're up against the wall, you're looking at the 8-ball, however you want to put it, that's a good track for you to go to and try and get yourself to Homestead. Because as I will explain, part of the penalty, not only does it dock him 40 points, but the win, it counts as a win, but it doesn't automatically qualify him for Homestead, and he doesn't get to use it as a tiebreaker. I mean, it's useless to him. It's what happened. It's that encumbered win, even though they're not using that word anymore. So that's kind of where Harvick is at as he gets ready to go to Phoenix. And again, look, I mean, that is a place that Kevin Harvick has dominated, and I would expect more of the same. I would expect him to be in contention, not necessarily to win, but we'll get clinch scenarios here in a second. I think he's going to be fine, but it does make it interesting for everybody else and what they need to do to try and punch their ticket. We know Joey Logano is going. Joey Logano is good. He got a win. He's ready to rock and roll. So we know that he is going to go to Homestead and race for a championship. We feel like Kyle Busch is in a pretty good position. We feel like Martin Truex has put himself in a pretty decent position. But Kevin Harvick is the one that has the big question now, because he is 3 points to the good. That's all. 3 to the good. So it puts Harvick in a very interesting position going into Phoenix this weekend and what he has to do to advance to Homestead. Let's hear from Scott Miller, who is the Senior Vice President of Competition for NASCAR. Held a conference call Wednesday evening, basically explaining everything that happened with this penalty, how they came to this conclusion, and what it means moving forward. Here's a little bit of that conference call with Scott Miller.
The spoiler did not meet the CAD file. The spoiler is a piece that is bought by the teams from a single source supplier. It has a part number from Richardson. It has a CAD file that calls out the profile of the spoiler and, you know, the overall shape and where all the mounting holes are in the spoiler. This particular spoiler did not conform to the CAD file. And there's two things that when you're talking about a spoiler that contribute to improved aerodynamic performance, and that would be the height of the spoiler. That was correct on this one, and it would be the offset of the spoiler in relationship to the center line of the car. This one was moved to the right, and Actually, you know, when the car goes into the corner and sees yaw, that puts more air on the spoiler, and that's definitely aerodynamic performance. So we found this back at the R&D center when we matched up the spoiler to the, you know, to the CAD file, which basically is just a stock part that every team can buy, and you know, it didn't match up. So that's what put us where we are today.
Scott Miller, Executive Vice President of Competition for NASCAR, and look, you know, he's the guy that is responsible for finding out these violations and, you know, helping to issue these penalties. He's a former crew chief, so he knows a lot of the tricks that these guys are using. What's interesting in all of this is now Kevin Harvick not only has docked 40 points, he not only doesn't get to use this win to qualify for the championship four, but he doesn't have crew chief Rodney Childers either. So it's a huge penalty for Kevin Harvick going into Phoenix this weekend and what has to happen. Now, an interesting question that I have, because we've talked about penalties before, and everybody knows that every team is going to cheat a little bit. It's just, what is the level of cheating, and do you get caught, and what happens when you get caught? Now, I have read a lot of things from Bob Pockrass to different writers that cover the sport. Scott Miller even said this in the conference call, that they might consider disqualifying drivers altogether, depending on the penalty. They might look at that as soon as next year. What's interesting is I kind of think, I don't know if it really, what it does. You know, you would think that that's going to cut back on things and cut back on some of these teams trying to skirt the rules, but it's not going to completely fix it. I mean, there are rules violations in the NFL and the NBA and all other sports, and you get suspended. And look, you know that that's a part of it, that can happen. But disqualifying wins altogether, not just saying, hey, look, you get the trophy, but you know, you lose the points, it doesn't count towards playoff qualification or championship four qualification. I mean, that's a pretty big hit right there. I mean, you basically have said this doesn't matter. So it would be interesting if they just start disqualifying drivers and what that means. But so an interesting weekend at Texas. Now we go back, because we always kind of look at the race and what it means. Kevin Harvick won the race, and he, you know, dominated and won both the first two stages before winning the race. He did his victory interview after getting out of the car, and he ends up going into the stands and bringing a kid on the track, which was really, really cool. He goes to victory lane, and everything seems great. Everybody's happy. In fact, Dave Burns asked him about bringing the kid onto the track and what that meant.
You know, it's always, people always give you grief for not stopping for everybody. You don't have time to stop for everybody, but I love stopping for the kids. Sorry to you adults for the most part, but yeah, that's something that hopefully that kid will remember for his whole life. And, you know, sometimes you get reminders of what you mean sitting in this car to people outside of the sport. And so that moment is going to, you know, hopefully be with that kid forever. So just got to thank everybody from Mobile One and Ford, Jimmy Johns, Bush, Hunt Brothers, everybody from Haas Automation and Stuart Haas Racing for just a really, really fast car. For whatever reason, since they've repaved this place has just kind of fit everything that we do. So just a great day. And I didn't pick the top there. I'm sure Letarte was up there yelling at me about picking the bottom and getting beat, but I wasn't going to do it twice, Steve. So it worked out good there at the end.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, you know, you had to make that decision then, and then you had to live with that. What was that like trying to hold Blaney off, who hadn't really been trying the bottom either?
Yeah, I knew his car was kind of tight in the middle and kind of loose off, and it was, you know, tough for him to if he wasn't able to arc it in the corner and finish the corner, he had a tough time staying in the throttle. So I just knew I needed to get down in the corner with him. The side draft was really the key, getting down in the corner and getting even. So it all worked out, and just really, really proud of everybody. And, you know, I told you before the race that we don't come to these races to count our fingers and thumbs to see how many points we need. We come here to win, and we did that today.
Ready to go give him a beat down at Phoenix?
I don't know about a beat down. These guys are all tough right now. It's the end of the year. Everybody everybody's on top of their game, but we're gonna go try our best. I can promise you that. We'll say hi to Keelan and everybody at home.
Kevin Harvick with Dave Burns of NBC in Victory Lane. So you listen to that interview, and Kevin's feeling pretty good. You know, he's giving credit to his competition, saying, hey, look, we're good at Phoenix, but we're not going to beat anybody down. You know, he's talking about giving back to the kids and all that. But now it's very, very different. I mean, he's got 8 wins on the year, but he's 3 points to the good going into Phoenix this weekend. And that leads us to the point standings, as we do every week. I love this movie. All right. So, this is what we have going into Phoenix, point-wise. Joey Logano, he's good to go. He's got that win. He is locked in. But he is the only one that can say that due to a win. Kyle Busch is second, 28 points to the good. Martin Truex Jr. in third. He had a wild day at Texas. You'll hear from him in a second. He's 25 to the good. And then Kevin Harvick is in that final spot, only 3 points ahead of Kurt Busch, who is in fifth. Chase Elliott, 17 back in sixth. Eric Almirola, 35 back in seventh. Clint Bowyer, 51 back in eighth. So you look at Almirola and Bowyer, they got to win. That's the only way they're going to get in. Chase Elliott has a prayer. Kurt Busch is right there. Kevin Harvick, we know his situation. So those are the points with that top eight as they get ready to go to Phoenix and try and qualify for the championship four. I mentioned Martin Truex Jr. He had a wild day. He had penalties. He had mistakes. And somehow, some way, he is still alive.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I'm just glad I don't have a points as they run monitor in the car, because it would just drive you absolutely bonkers. So, yeah, I mean, you know, overall, I guess it was a decent day. We had a lot to battle through, obviously starting the back and overcoming that, and then, you know, the loose wheel and then my stupid mistake, which I've never done since they brought that rule in, and just one of them things. So
driving through too many boxes.
Yeah, I mean, just a few feet of that one, and I knew when I turned in it didn't feel right, and it just, there was all the shadows with the sunset going down and everything, and I just messed up. So, you know, we got a little bit of luck on our side after that to be able to get back on the lead lap, so happy about that for sure. But, you know, we had a good race car today, and you know, just, we didn't really get to show. We needed longer runs, and you know, the short runs, the Fords are just lights out fast. I mean, nobody's going to touch them right now, so I don't know what we have to do about that, but, you know, maybe start politicking like they did to us last year to get more speed, but it's a little late in the year for that. Overall, good day. I'm proud of my guys. You know, we've battled so much stuff this year. It's just, we've been tested a lot, and we keep rising to the occasion. So we got 2 more weeks. We got to do that, and hopefully we'll get what we want.
How do you feel about a scenario going into Phoenix plus 25?
I think that's pretty good. You know, I mean, that's what we were coming in today. So to stay exactly where we were, I think, is a decent day. The only difference is there's one less spot available. So, I don't know. We'll have to see how it goes, and we'll go race hard next week and try to make the most of it.
Martin Truex Jr. with Marty Snyder of NBC, and he says there's one less spot available, obviously, that taking place before the penalty. So things are a little more wide open. Truex finished 9th in the race. He was 2 laps down at one point. You heard him chronicle all the problems that he had, and it's just amazing that they've been able to do that. I think it's just some of the magic with the Furniture Row team and it closing down. And oh, by the way, I haven't even gotten to this yet. It's official. He and Cole Pearn are going to Joe Gibbs Racing to drive the 19 car next season. They made that official. They announced it this week. I think it's a great fit because he's going to be able to take his guys with him over to Joe Gibbs. The transition should be pretty seamless along with Cole Pearn. And I think that, you know, he's going to be in the same equipment. I mean, that's they get their equipment at Furniture Row from Joe Gibbs Racing. So Martin Truex Jr., I think, is in a very, very good spot over the next few years. Have not announced sponsorships and things like that. And I'm going to say this. I know they're going to run the 19, but I think it would be pretty cool if they elected to run the 78. Kind of give Barney Visser a little hat tip and run that over at Gibbs, but it looks like it's going to be the 19 car. Of course, Daniel Suarez looking for a ride. He's been rumored to take over for Kurt Busch in the 41, with Kurt Busch most likely, yet not announced, going over to Chip Ganassi Racing. So we will see. That is kind of how things shake right now. When we come back, Jeff Burton from NBC, the mayor, he is going to join me, and really, really good stuff coming in, and I'll get his thoughts on the Kevin Harvick stuff as well. It's Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game, and online at thegamenashville.com. We're back here on Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game, and as promised, the mayor, Jeff Burton, is on the line with us. And Jeff, thanks for taking the time. Appreciate it.
Yeah, man. Good talk to you.
Well, a lot to get into with these playoffs, but something that, you know, just coming down, Kevin Harvick hit with a huge penalty because violations found with the spoiler on the race car that he won with at Texas. He is not automatically locked into the championship four now. His crew chief, Rodney Childers, is suspended for the final two races, and he's been docked 40 points. This is a huge hit with only one race to go before they get to Homestead. How do you rebound if you're Kevin Harvick?
Well, I think Kevin Harvick going to, perhaps his best racetrack is a great way to rebound. It's a track where, if you think about it, earlier this year, they kind of were in the same boat. They were penalized the week before the race at Phoenix. They went to Phoenix and won the race and kind of, you know, told everybody, look, we didn't win that race because of this small thing we got caught for. And I think they revert back to that. They've been there, done that. They've been in this position before, although it's a much, much emotionally different deal because you went from all the excitement and enthusiasm that you had leaving Texas with the win, knowing you're going to Miami with a chance to win the championship, to only being 3 points ahead. Kevin Harvick is mentally tough. He's the kind of guy that likes being in the pressure. And, you know, he jumped straight out of being with no pressure, straight into tons of it. But he's built for that. He loves these moments. And I think going to Phoenix, that they'll use that. I think it'll be tougher because they are losing. You know, losing his crew chief is a huge disadvantage, although not the disadvantage it once was. With technology, they can still communicate. They can still be in touch. But the thing you lose is that physical interaction, those second decisions that have to be made in practice when you stick your head in the wind and you look at the driver and you see his eyes, hear his voice, that's what you lose. But it isn't like they won't be completely without the crew chief because of technology. But certainly from one end of the spectrum to the other in a few hours for Kevin Harvick, but he's built for it. He's emotionally tough enough. It wouldn't surprise me in the least to see Kevin Harvick win this weekend.
Well, and you mentioned it. He's so good at Phoenix, but what does that do for the other drivers that are competing for those now final two playoff spots? I mean, they know, okay, the four car has been dominant all year, won all these races. Now they have their backs against the wall. Does that change their strategy at all?
So I think, you know, when I look at what's happened since this penalty, basically in my world, you know, it really affected five people. Joey Logano, he won a few weeks ago at Martinsville. He's moving to Miami with a chance to win a championship. Eric Almirola, 35 points back. Clint Boyer, 51 points back. They got to win. They just got to go to Phoenix and win. So it didn't change anything for those three drivers. Who it changed it for was Kyle Busch and Martin Truex. They went from being, you know, fourth and third with one of those guys potentially getting knocked out if somebody had a good race to be in a much better position. It helped everyone except for Kevin Harvick, and it changed nothing for Joey Logano and Eric Almirola and Clint Boyer.
He's Jeff Burton. You'll see him on NBC this Sunday as they go to Phoenix, the final race before the Championship Four at Homestead. Coverage begins here in Nashville at 1:30 Central Time. So you mentioned Joey Logano winning at Martinsville. We saw how that ended and loved the analysis by you and Dale Jr. after the race, just two former drivers kind of looking at that from different perspectives. But if you're Joey Logano and you've made a couple enemies now in Truex and Eric Almirola, I mean, what does that do for you? And then on the other side, as a driver that I know you've had your run-ins with people in the past, when do you know when to get the payback?
Well, so I don't think that he created any enemies with Eric Almirola. I think Eric Almirola's comments were out of emotion and, you know, the enthusiasm, the excitement, all that stuff that happens in a race car. I don't think there's any enemy that's been created there. You know, Joey to me is very interesting. Joey races aggressively, but so does Kevin Harvick. So does Kyle Busch. So does a lot of guys. And I just don't see where he's any more aggressive than those guys. But for some reason, he's a little bit of a target. And I've never quite figured that out. I will say early in his career, he didn't communicate very well. You know, when you have an issue, you need to deal with it. And he just didn't know how to, wasn't, you know, for whatever reason, he wasn't good at that. And I haven't interacted with him since then as a driver. But you know, he does turn some people off that he races with, but I don't think it's because of the way he races. I think it's something else. But I find Joey to be a great person to work with. You know, in the role that I'm in now, he does everything we ask him to do. He's great with, I mean, he's just a good guy. And I think for Joey, he's just got to keep being himself. And then if you are Martin Truex Jr., I think if you get caught up in worrying about Joey Logano or anybody else for that matter, that's negative to you. Now, Joey Logano moved Martin Truex Jr. out of the way to win Martinsville. So basically, what that is Joey Logano signed a permission slip and said, look, if you need to move me out of the way, I just gave you permission to do that because I moved you out of the way. And that permission slip is cashed in at a time that's beneficial to you, not at a time that will harm someone else, if that makes any sense. So people that have a vendetta, it never works out for them. The people that store it away and say, okay, this is how this guy treats me, so the next time I need a position late in the race, or if I need a different line on a restart or something like that, there's a guy right there that I can move out of the way because he's moved me out of the way. That's how you use that. If you use it to say, I'm just going to go get back at him, that doesn't work. So Martin Truex Jr. is way smarter than that. I don't think he's going to fall into that trap. I think that Martin's smart enough to know that it has to be about you and your team and approach it that way.
Well, and you know, look, Martinsville's a short track. I mean, there's always going to be tempers, and that's just how it is. But, you know, you and I are in the media business, and this has created a great storyline as we go into these final, you know, two races now of, hey, what's going to happen? You know, tempers, pressure is up. And I think that that's what NASCAR was looking for when they created this playoff format. You raced in the Chase era, but with what they've done in this playoff format with the elimination, aren't they getting exactly what they wanted?
Yes. And they're getting exactly what the sport should be. You know, I know there's some traditionalists that say, you know, hey, racing should be a year-long battle, and you know whoever does the best over the whole year, that's your champion. I get it. That's the way it was always done. This format, though, rewards people for what they did in the regular season. Think about it. Kevin Harvick, because of what he did in the regular season, the races he won in the regular season, and the points he was able to carry into the playoffs, even after having all those points taken away from him last week, he's still 3 points to the good of making Miami, and that's because of the work he did in the regular season. So this format still allows the work that you did, the body of work that you did in the regular season, it still matters, and it matters a great deal. But you also have that component of, if I win, I'm moving on. And you have that component of, yes, we did a great job in the regular season, but if we don't perform in the playoffs, we're going home. And that creates, it's more fun to watch. It's more, the more stressful it is for the teams, the more difficult it is for the teams in any sport, the more fun it is for us to watch. And by the way, as a competitor, a former competitor, those are the moments that I love. Those are the moments that heroes are built, right? Reggie Jackson, why was he so famous? Why was Michael Jordan so famous? Because they delivered at big moments. And racing with this playoff system creates an opportunity for people to step up, creates an opportunity for people to fold under the pressure. And so there's opportunities for success and failure, and we as fans are winners for that. The same way that when the ACC tournament, ACC basketball tournament starts, I'm watching. I mean, I'm watching games that I don't give a damn about who's playing, right? Like, why am I watching Georgia Tech Clemson? Like, why am I watching this game? Because somebody's going home. And so that's what now we have in racing, and it's made every race more important. Every race now is more important, not just the races in the playoffs.
He's Jeff Burton from NBC. You can see him this weekend. Xfinity coverage on Saturday, getting underway at 2:30 Central, and then the Cup Series at 1:30 Central, of course, on NBC. And You mentioned Kevin Harvick earlier, and before we even knew about the penalty, I had this written down to ask you about just his success that he's had just at Stuart Haas Racing. I think it's 22 wins with that team. You were his teammate at RCR. I mean, you saw the success that he had there, but it just seems like everything almost tripled when he got to Stuart Haas. Why has that worked so well for him?
Well, Kevin is a blue collar, hardworking, give 100% to this program guy. And when he went to Stuart Haas, they started everything new. It was his team. It was his guys. It was his program. And he took ownership in that. He was no longer, you know, Dale Earnhardt's replacement. He was now his own guy with a team that was built around him that he had ownership in. He was already, if you look at what he was doing at RCR, and I say this as his teammate, he was kicking his teammates' butts. And he was the shining star at RCR, without a doubt. And when he went, so the talent was there. Then he went to Stuart Haas and put him in a situation where you teamed with Rodney Childress, a guy that Kevin fought for. I want that guy, right? And then he embraced Rodney and his approach. So emotionally, Kevin was in a place that he really wanted to be. Rodney has done a great job of working with Kevin. It's just been a great match. And at a time where Kevin is at the height of his career, he's at the height of his talent level. So it's a combination of things. But Kevin is, you know, I'm not overreaching when I say this. Kevin is one of the sport's greatest drivers. I'm not saying he's where Richard Petty is or where Dale Earnhardt is, but he is I feel confident saying he's one of the 10 best drivers ever in NASCAR history. And you give that much talent and that much dedication and that much want to, you give him fast race cars, he's going to be hard to beat. This is what this has been about.
So Phoenix this weekend, or ISM Speedway as it's called now, is it's always been one of my favorites because it's different. And I know drivers like the different tracks, not these, you know, mile and a half cookie cutter, as they call it. Phoenix is anything but that. There's just some uniqueness about it. What was it that you always enjoyed about racing there? And I know they've done some modifications and everything since you last raced there, but what is it you liked about Phoenix?
Well, I was fortunate enough to win quite a few races there, and I like the fact that both ends of the racetrack are different from the other. I like the fact that it's a short track, that the tires wear out, that handling matters, finesse matters. You know, some of the mile and a half, you can, you know, you operate completely different than you do at Phoenix, where, you know, at Phoenix, you have to really use racers that win Phoenix are they're smart racers. They're guys that know how to get their car to handle. They're guys that know how to communicate with their team. Know how to deal with old tires that are worn out, can manage a car that isn't driving well. It's just more of my style of racing is what I like to watch. So, you know, in this weekend, they've done some modifications to the track. They've moved the start-finish line. So now what was turn three is now turn one. It doesn't sound like that big of a deal, but the restart zone, some teams are going to restart in the corner of the racetrack because of where the start-finish line is, and I think that's going to create a pretty interesting scenario. Restarts have become such an important part of racing. You can lose spots or gain spots there. That's going to help determine who wins this race. So already a difficult racetrack with some major challenges, something new thrown at the teams, with, by the way, a lot on the line.
Yeah.
So I expect a fun weekend to watch.
Well, and we'll definitely be watching you guys on NBC. One thing I wanted to ask you about you know, with Dale Jr. joining your team this year, you guys have the opportunity to move around a little bit. You have the driver's booth sometimes with you and Dale Jr. and Steve Letard, of course, the crew chief. How has that all been working? It's been great to watch because it seems like there's already chemistry between you and Dale Jr.
Oh, it is. It's not like we went into this without me knowing Dale Jr. You know what I mean?
Right.
I've been around Dale Jr. for a long time. Steve and Dale are really good friends, work together. They already had that chemistry. So Dale and I were competitors. You know, Steve and Dale competed with each other. I competed against them. So that's a different, it's a different relationship. But Dale has been just a pleasure to work with. I worked really hard to try to convince Dale to come to NBC. Everybody wanted him, of course. And Steve and I, were approached with, hey, would you guys want to work with Dale? And we're both like, hell yeah, let's do it. And so Steve and I worked to recruit Dale and get him into our group, because we know what kind of person he is. We know he's going to be easy to work with. We know that he loves racing. And really that's what we are. Like we're just guys that sit in the booth, talk about what we're seeing, try to explain to fans the things that they perhaps don't understand because they haven't been in it the way we are, but we'd be watching it anyway. I mean, we'd be at home watching the race. If we weren't at Phoenix this weekend, we'd be on the couch watching it. So he's just been a good fit and come in and been great to work with. And I think he's brought a lot to the table. I think he's brought a perspective that I think has been healthy for all of us. And I think the fans have been the winner. I think him coming on with a group that already had great chemistry and we all get along and have a good time. And I'm not talking about just the booth. I'm talking about everybody. Like when I leave my house going to Phoenix this weekend, I know I'm going to have a good time. I know that I'm not going to work. I'm going to have a good time with a group of people that are my friends that I happen to work with. And I'm talking about everybody, all the people it takes to put that show on, not just the people that you hear talking, the cameramen, the producers, everybody. So he's done great at coming in and fitting in with that. And that's hard to do. We were all established. We'd all worked together for 3 years, and Junior got, popped in on us. And that's hard to build those relationships. And he's done a great job at that. And I think personally, I think the fans have been the winners.
Yeah, absolutely. And Jeff, real quick, did you race at the Nashville Fairgrounds at all in your career? Okay.
I did.
I've started this. I'm trying to get racing back here because it's such a historic racetrack, and it's been in the news a lot with everything we're doing over at the fairgrounds. But What do you think it would mean to NASCAR if I know some money has to be put into it and they got to fix it up, but for them to come back to Nashville?
I have been advocating for probably 5-6 years now, and I've been called all kinds of names, crazy, insane, it'll never happen, by people in the sport that have been in the sport way longer than me. That can never happen. We're never going to do that. I've been advocating for years that the All-Star race, at a minimum, the All-Star race should be run at a true short track, a track where we don't run, the Cup Series doesn't run normally, yet a track that can connect to the short track racetracks, can connect to the history of the sport, create a special moment that's different than the regular season. I've been advocating that for years, been publicly asking the sport to move to run, have an All-Star race at Nashville, at Hickory, at South Boston, at the historic racetracks across the country. And I've been told that's a crazy idea. Well, guess what? It's not a crazy idea. It's a great idea. And if that got turned into, we're going to have a point race, that's even better. There's a way to do it. And not only is there a way to do it, it needs to happen. And I know you have a personal interest in Nashville. I don't care if it's in Nashville or if it's at another historic short track around the country. For me, it doesn't matter so much about where as the fact that we do it. The sport needs it. We need a short track race on the circuit. Nashville sounds like a great place. The infrastructure is in place. You have a great city with great hotels. Although expensive as hell, you got to find a way to get costs down. But
we're building.
It's a great city. It's a great city that's capable of holding the event. So yes, we need to be there. And I don't care if it's the All-Star race or if it's a point paying race. I don't care. But we need to go. And there's no reason that we shouldn't. And I don't want to hear, well, it can't hold 60,000 people. Good. We don't need 60,000 people. Let's have a race where there's 20,000 people. Let's make it special. I grew up a Duke basketball fan since I was a little bitty guy. My dad had season tickets at Cameron Indoor Stadium.
Great
Why
place.
Is that place cool? Because it's small. because it's special. It's unique. Doesn't have to be fancy. Doesn't have to have corporate suites. Doesn't have to have all that stuff. You can bring in temporary infrastructure. You can bring in temporary restrooms. You can even bring in temporary grandstands. The PGA Tour does it every week. So there is a way to do it. There has to find a way to do it. The sport deserves it. The fans deserve it. The fans deserve an opportunity to watch Kevin Harvick and Kyle Busch get after it on a half-mile racetrack. That's what they want to see. Let's give it to them.
Man, I'm right there with you. That's a great way to end it. Hey, Jeff, I appreciate it. We'll be watching this weekend and on NBC. You guys do a great job. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you, buddy. Y'all have a great day.
Jeff Burton with NBC. Appreciate him stopping by here on Chasing Checkers as we get ready for Phoenix. It's the final race before the Championship Four at Homestead. And what a great mind to pick, a guy that spent a lot of time in NASCAR, over 1,000 races in the Cup Series, and does a tremendous job with them at NBC. And you know, he's a guy that'll tell it like it is. That's why I wanted to have him on, and perfect timing with the news on Kevin Harvick and the points being docked and what he has to do. But as Jeff said, if there were ever a place that Kevin Harvick had to be behind the eight ball, it was Phoenix, because he's so good there. So we will see what happens. We will look at that race. We'll preview it next. Chasing Checkers, ESPN, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Chasing Checkers, ESPN, 102.5 The Game. Chase McCabe here with you, as always. Appreciate Jeff Burton for stopping by from NBC. Again, you can see that race on NBC this Sunday. And look, Jeff, the mayor, I mean, he brought it, man. He brought it. Had a ton to get into with the Harvick penalty and racing in Nashville and the playoffs in general. And very, very cool stuff from him. So that leads us to Phoenix, a place that Jeff Burton, as you heard, knows well. He won there several times. It's a place that Kevin Harvick knows well. He's won there 9 times. Nine times. 8 wins on this season, but he's won 9 times at Phoenix. So it's a place that he knows well. And as I said in the first segment, and as you heard Jeff Burton say, if there were ever a place that Kevin Harvick gets hit with a penalty where he doesn't get to count the win towards qualifying for the Championship Four, he loses his crew chief, he's down 40 points. If there's ever a place that he had to go, it's Phoenix, a place where he has won 9 times. He won there in the spring. He knows how to get around that place, even though that they've made changes to the track. They moved the start-finish line to the dogleg. The racing is still the same. The track still drives the same. They just moved some stuff around. Kevin Harvick still knows how to get around that place. So I will be watching that four car very closely, as I know all of you will. We're excited for Homestead. We're excited to crown a champion. But I always think that this race is just as exciting, if not a little more, because you have 8 drivers racing for 4 spots. Oh, and by the way, you have the other 32 cars that are out there going, hey, what about us? We're going to try and win the race. We're going to try and play spoiler. And you have a guy like Joey Logano, who has ticked some people off in the last few weeks, Truex and Almirola, even though I think Almirola was kind of the heat of the moment. I think that has all kind of died down. But you're going to have some guys that are like, hey, I'm not going to help you. I'm not going to assist you. In fact, check this out. Kurt Busch discussing Stewart Haas Racing, and even though they have had a successful year, are they all going to work together?
Today's Friday. We're still working together. Saturday, we'll still work together, but maybe not as much. Sunday, it's every team and every car number for himself. That's the culture that we have all put together at SHR. I learned it at Roush years ago when we put 5 cars in the playoffs, and you work together 6 days out of the week, you go race on the 7th.
That's how it works. That is that go get them, just no holds bar mentality. And that's what you have to have. I mean, look, that's what Kevin Harvick's going to have. If Bowyer is in front of him and Bowyer has a chance to win, I don't think Harvick's going to intentionally wreck him, but he's not going to take it easy on him. And Bowyer wouldn't do the same to him. Kurt Busch wouldn't do the same. Kurt Busch is in a great position now. That's something that's lost in a lot of this penalty stuff. Kurt Busch is in fifth, 3 points back. He is in tremendous position. Commented on that as well.
The big three had all of those bonus points from the year-long performance. And so we knew we had our work cut out for us. And we've been steady all the way through, especially this round, where we knew this was the who's who. Logano, I think, has performed the best on average with points. For us, we have finished eighth or better in every stage and race finish at the end of the race. And yet we were still 25 behind, which is basically what we went into the playoffs knowing. And so that means we've performed the same as the big three, but we haven't gained on them. We watched my little brother struggle at Texas with a penalty, and he lost 20-some-odd points last week. So it can change dramatically, and it's nice to have, you know, a realistic number to go race somebody, and you can't just focus on one guy, though, because all of us in this grouping of eight, I think, are the most competitive eight that we've ever seen this far into the season.
I think I'd agree with that. Kurt Busch on the competition, and you mentioned the big three. I mean, to me now, the big three is irrelevant. I mean, yes, they're there, but you're gonna have four drivers at Homestead. We think it's going to include Harvick, Kyle Busch, and Truex. But look, we don't know with this Harvick penalty. I mean, Kurt Busch could get in there. Chase Elliott could win. You don't know. But it doesn't matter. The big three was awesome for the regular season. It's been fun to watch how they do in the playoffs, but it's anyone's ball game, and you have eight very competitive drivers going into Phoenix this weekend, trying to get a win and trying to go to Homestead. That's what NASCAR wanted. Jeff Burton said it. I have said it. They got exactly what they wanted. It has been exciting. Now we just got to continue to build this product, get people back at the racetrack, get people watching on TV, and there are ways to solve that, but the racing has been awesome, and now you have even more drama with a penalty with Kevin Harvick. What more could you want? And look, if you're writing the story and you're writing the script, the four car probably wins this weekend and basically says, hey, what penalty? Yeah, we screwed up. You didn't like it? Okay. We did everything by the rules this week. We went and won the race anyway. So, it stinks not having Rodney Childers at the track, but I don't think it kills him, as you heard Jeff Burton say as well. Phoenix is one of my favorite tracks. I say that about a lot of them, but Phoenix is unique. And if you've been listening to this show long enough, you know that I like unique racetracks. I don't like these cookie cutter mile and a half. So I like tracks with character. And you know, I think Texas has character. I think it's very fast. And even though it's similar to Charlotte and Atlanta, it has its own uniqueness about it. I think that Phoenix with the dog leg and how now that is the start-finish line, it's very unique. So I'm excited this weekend. I'll be watching. I know you will be too. And we will get you ready for the Championship Four coming up next week here on Chasing Checkers. If you miss any of the old shows of the guests, I mean, we've had a ton of drivers on, ton of big guests from NBC and Fox. You can subscribe on iTunes, rate, subscribe, and review. You can go to thegamenashville.com and go to our pod center, find Chasing Checkers, and it is all there for you. I am Chase McCabe. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks to Jeff Burton from NBC. We will talk to you next week. Enjoy Phoenix. Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game.